Let me throw out at you a few of the comments I've heard over the last couple of years about this study. And certainly one important issue is the fact that bevacizumab is not included. Can you talk about the thinking that went on there?
The major thinking that went on there was that we didn't know that much about bevacizumab when we first started. As the bevacizumab information came out, and we had someone come and present to us at one of our colorectal cancer working meetings about the drug, there were certain issues that gave us a little pause for concern. One was the issues of thrombosis. Now, we're putting catheters in half the patients in an artery. And although hepatic artery thrombosis has never been reported, I think you have to take a little pause because that is one of the major complications of putting in a hepatic artery pump, artery-associated or pump-associated thrombosis. That was one. The other was the bleeding issues and issues related to wound healing. So if we were going to do an operation in place of pump and do a liver resection and be using a drug that at least in a few settings was associated with complications in wound healing or perforation of the bowel, that also gave us some pause. I would say the most solid scientific reason is that we did the phase 2 trial without the drug. And to get this trial through the NCI and through CTEP required some confirmatory evidence that the combination of the drugs used in this fashion, 2 weeks on, a week off, 2 weeks on, would be safe. And since we hadn't added the bevacizumab, we didn't have that evidence.
So I guess from an ethical point of view or from a clinical point of view, the primary treating physician would have to be thinking, well, this might be a patient, particularly if they've never had bevacizumab, who could benefit by it. On the other hand, there might be some additional benefit if they're randomized to the arm with the infusion and they believe that that might provide an additional benefit. So I guess that's sort of where it sounds like the therapeutic trade-off would be.
Yeah, although there's some emerging evidence of use of bevacizumab in the adjuvant setting, this is actually the adjuvant setting. And there are people who believe that if you have very low-risk disease, say the one lesion in the good prognosis patient, maybe those people shouldn't even have anything else because they've already demonstrated by biology that they have a long disease-free interval. So they might be the patient that a treating medical oncologist wouldn't want to add bevacizumab or treat at all for that.
Plus, you would imagine that some of these patients might have been on the current NSABP adjuvant trial CO8, which is FOLFOX plus or minus Bev, so they might actually have already had it.
That's correct.
Another thing I hear mentioned about this is the whole debate of whether intrahepatic infusional therapy really is relevant today with the newer agents, particularly oxaliplatin, on board. There are some prominent clinical research leaders who've used the term dinosaur to apply to hepatic arterial infusion. What about that issue?
That's a very important point for debate. Some of it is based on your philosophy. If you believe you have two agents that work well, then it's not unreasonable to want to use those two things together. In some ways, it seems to be the opposite of what we hear in medical oncology. It's not, let's go to monotherapy. It's, let's go to combination therapy. It's not remove something that works. It's add something else. So add the biologic to the standard chemotherapy. So to me, this is just, the study is created to answer that question. It says, do you need this addition of the pump? Is it a dinosaur, or does it actually improve the outcome? We've defined a disease or a particular patient biology or a group of patients that have a single organ or primarily a single organ metastatic site. And I think the concept of a regional approach to a single organ metastatic site also emphasizes the value of testing the question.